Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where we chatted a bit.
Out too. Where I get too, like, bloviating and long-winded, I'll cut that shit out.
Okay, so yeah, it's going to be like a 10-minute podcast?
Hello and welcome to Adventures in Gabysitting, chronicling the highs and lows of coming out of the closet and having your first baby at the age of 40. Past the lube and diaper cream, things are about to get filthy. My name is Documented Barbarism, an herb that's superb for disturbances at sea.
And I'm Shannon Quarter, and I am burdened with glorious purpose.
What's that from?
That's what Loki says. And I really only know it because I saw someone with a shirt that said, "I am burdened with glorious porpoise," with a dolphin porpoise with little horns, you know? And so that's where, then I looked it up. I mean, I watch all the Marvel stuff all the time, and I totally have a hard on for all of the Lokis. Well, not the kid one. Well, anyway, Tom Hiddleston is hot. Oh, that's right. I remember telling you that Loki was officially bisexual and you thought I meant Tom Hiddleston. And then you were disappointed when I said no, just the character.
So you had mentioned Squid Game. And I figure that since everyone in the whole planet is talking about Squid Game, even though it will all be forgotten in 2 weeks and no one will ever speak of it again, I understand you have some opinions thereof.
Yeah, so here's what I'd like to say about Squid Game. Don't tell me anything about Squid Game because I don't want to know ever. This, I can't handle that shit, man. There was like a video game that I played in high school with a certain neighbor of mine that is a mutual friend. I don't know that we have permission to use his name on air, but he's gay now. So I think you know which one. Well, that could be any of our friends. But anyway, there's like it was like this horror video game. And every time you lost, like you had to, your character had to sit in a chair and get her head split in half with an axe. And it was like,
is that Phantasmagoria?
Horrible. Yes. Wait, did you play that too?
Yes, no. So I only played it at this person's house. I have a Phantasmagoria story. Yeah,
a Phantasmagoria story. But we had it at my house. Are you sure it wasn't at? Okay. Well, anyway, even though it was like super low, awful graphics, it like still haunts me to this day.
No. Okay. Yeah, what's your story? Scary as fuck. I only ever went to his house a couple times, but one of the times we were there, we were playing it in, I think it might have been his older brother's bedroom, which there was like a loft bed and you could access it through the roof. It had like a, I don't know, some sort of sunroof or something, some way you could access it. So this was, it would have been like 96 or 97. And we were in there playing Phantasmagoria and the lights were off and we were getting, you know, like scared shitless. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, his brother, who had snuck onto the bed through the roof, wearing one of the Scream masks, like, dove over the edge of the bed and screamed. And I kid you not, I nearly shat myself.
Okay, I remember that story totally different.
You were there, were you? Were you there?
Yeah, unless, you know what, maybe he did it a different time. Because there was a time that everybody wanted me to see It. You were there for that because I made you get out of the car and walk home. Oh, no. You kept putting you put the Scream mask on in the back of the back seat. Now I'm like driving. Look at the rearview mirror. Look back. And I wasn't really scared, but I was so mad. And this is why I'm kind of afraid to tell people how I don't want to hear anything about Squid Game, because which is why it's good that no one we know will listen to this. Because I'm so afraid that people will inundate me with like memes or things. But my husband has said that he knows me, and he knows how like specific images just get stuck in my head. Like the first time you told me about giving yourself a perineal massage, and how I just can't.
The first time, there have been subsequent times.
Maybe it's just that it's playing on a loop in my head and I'm like, make it stop.
That's hot. Yeah, I think you're conflating stories though, because I do remember it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It probably was what you're saying, or some part of it, or whatever. See, I'm remembering it all wrong because I thought that this was my place on my parents' computer, but now that I'm remembering it, I'm remembering a house that I didn't live in at the time. So it probably was at this other person's house. And there was a...
Right, because you weren't neighbors anymore by that point.
Right, and there was a loft that was a whole loft, not just a bed. And I know that because I used to go there to be babysat when I was like 5, and one time I fell down the stairs. So that was very familiar.
That explains a lot.
That's actually a great segue.
Oh no, what have you done? What have you done? Or not done?
Okay, well, I did not drop the baby down a flight of metal stairs. So let's just... I'm saying I didn't. Oh,
phew. I thought it was like, this was like an opposite day thing. No, okay, good. I didn't not.
I'm just setting that. You know how like when you're in high school, the joke is that you tell your, well, for girls, you're like, I'm pregnant. No, just kidding. Actually, you have to sign this slip for paper because I was tardy or something. this paper slip for school. Or you'd be like, I'm gay. And then they'd be like, oh no. And you'd be like, just kidding. Actually, I'm not. Oh, I don't know. But anyway, it was like that. I'm just setting the bar really low. So yes, my child did a couple of weeks ago. He's fallen off the bed twice, but the first time he fell on all fours, and this time he fell on his face, and he fell so hard.
That beautiful face.
Yeah, I know. It's so gorgeous because it's me, but a boy. So anyway, he was totally fine. He had like a little like rug burn kind of thing on his face. But of course we were freaked out, and it's one of those things where like you think, you just get used to what they can do and what they can't do. So like the first time that it happened, he was not like, if you put him on the bed, he would just stay there. At this, and then I learned, oh, you can't do that anymore. I'm not going to learn every single thing by letting it happen, by the way. Like, oh, now I know not to put the baby on the train tracks. But like when we, when this happened, I would do this thing where I'd sort of hover with my hand over him so I could grab him real quick, but somehow it just like shot out from underneath. And ever since that has happened, I look around my apartment and I see different ways that my baby can die. And he also just started walking. And so we need to childproof everything. And it's just so overwhelming. And I'm like, wish that I had the mindset of a second parent, or like a parent of a second child, so that I would know like what is a thing and what isn't. Like, I always check Reddit and the new parents thing, just so, you know, people can judge me and I can judge other people. But they were posting on there like, you know, my baby's 3 weeks old. Do you change the diaper every time the indicator is blue, or just at poops, or what? And all these people were like, no, I change it every time, every single time, because I don't want to let my child sit in urine. And I was like, no, once you get to 10 or 11 months, you don't change it for I mean, I'm not saying we go all day, but like when he sleeps overnight, we don't change it overnight. You know, even if he wakes up.
Indicator? What's an indicator?
Oh, maybe they didn't have that back in the day.
15 years ago.
And there's a little line on the diaper that is like light yellow, and then it turns blue if it's wet. I always thought it should be the other way, like it should be yellow, but you can't really see the yellow, so it makes sense. So it's sort of like those old period commercials. Well, you know, the commercials that was like, yay, yeah. Periods. I mean,
yeah. Where the they like dump the jug of water onto yes. the...
Yeah. Yeah. I've just, because it used to be blue, all of a sudden they are actually using like red or pink fluid, which to me is like groundbreaking, like when the first time they showed a toilet on a sitcom or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Wow. Yeah, so, pee indicators in diapers. That's amazing. What a wonderful world.
Yeah. So what those do is sell more diapers because like you really don't need to change it. But you couldn't convince any of the people with the 3-week-olds that, you know?
Right. It's like the Brita filter schedule. Like you don't actually have to change your Brita filter like every 3 weeks or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. Our Pure filter it's been like a year. Should probably do something about that.
Yeah, that's especially probably like a little too far in the other direction.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it's like the babies are programmed to find all the ways that they could possibly harm or kill themselves. I feel like it's like a Roger Rabbit cartoon. Do you remember like they used to play them before Disney movies, and it was always like Baby Herman would just be like crawling through like a construction site and be like, I can't wait to that. And then Roger Rabbit's following him around, and then he like picks up a bomb that, you know, how bombs are shaped like a basketball with a with a wick on one end, because that's what bombs look like.
So, yeah, that's the movie opens with one. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I think it's Tummy Trouble.
Yeah, Tummy Trouble. Yeah, that's it. That's totally it.
Yeah. I need you to be the parent that's in the future that's like, oh, don't worry. They'll eat, you know, they'll put their fingers in the outlet. They'll live. Yeah, well, it's something I'm preoccupied with all the time. And then, I mean, usually we keep him in his little baby jail, or he's like in a, like his high chair, or we're holding him. If we walk around the apartment with him right now, we're just like right there with him. But it only takes a couple seconds for him to be like, oh, look, it's a power strip, and or like it's a sharp corner on a desk or whatever.
Look, a bomb.
Yeah, look at Bob. and then I'm like running around the apartment with a bomb in my hand, like
making like Roger Batman. Rabbit noises.
Yes.
Yeah. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Get rid of a bomb.
We watched that in your dorm. Classic. We watched that in your college dorm when we were visiting.
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
Uh-huh.
We are so cool.
Yeah. Well, so the problem, like, I don't know actually how helpful I will be in this case, because my child has always been extraordinary. And I don't mean that in the sort of congratulatory way. He's always been like extra. It's more on extra than ordinary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like he had such a fat head when he was born. Mm-hmm. That was why he had to be C-section, even though he wasn't, mm-hmm. You know, we thought he was going to be massive because he just could not come out, you know, and mm-hmm. she was pushing and pushing. And then when they finally did the C-section and pulled him out, he was just this giant, like basketball shaped head. And that's just his mm-hmm. teeny little body like dangling underneath. So his head was always, did you ever play the game on Nintendo, the Bonk's Adventure, I think it was called, where he was like mm-mm. a caveman who attacked with his giant head, his giant bald head. No. That's basically what he looked like. But so because his head was so heavy, he learned how to walk before he learned how to crawl.
Oh,
so he was
okay.
A little late. The way he got around was by butt scooting. Mm-hmm. So we actually didn't have to worry about that too much. you butt scoot?
Yeah.
It's handy. You got hardwood floors, right? It's helpful.
Yeah.
So by the time he actually started walking and, you know, could get into things, he was a little older, and so it was a little easier. We didn't have to worry quite as much. Mm-hmm. Whereas what are we calling him?
Captain America? F. Murray Abraham.
How could I forget?
I'm Whereas, so glad you like that.
In your case, F. Murray Abraham is how old now?
11 months as of yesterday.
11 months. I mean, yeah, so that's, you know, there's that's and I get the feeling he's probably going to be a lot more active. Not only was Dingle Mary, did he have a giant head, he's also mm-hmm. always been fucking lazy, like from birth. We haven't really had to worry about that because he just mm-hmm. doesn't like moving. He doesn't like doing things. Uh-huh. He's always hated textures too, so we didn't have to worry about him like running off and like eating dirt, eating grass, mm-hmm. things like that. But all of that said, A, don't go on fucking Reddit parent groups ever.
But where do I go when I want to be like, is this normal? Is this normal? That's all we do.
Nowhere.
At our pediatrician.
You go nowhere. It is normal. It's all normal. Like, I'm so glad that we didn't. You know, it was only 15 years ago when, actually almost 16. Dingle's going to be 16 in a couple of weeks, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
When we, you know, back then, we barely even had internet at that point. You know, this is, 2005? So I'm glad that we didn't really have a chance to know what we were doing wrong, which was basically all of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good and bad. What we don't do is Google things. Unless it's already happened, like we did, this happened a long time ago, so it won't be my Google segment thing for this week, but we did have to Google what if baby eats poop, and it almost like autofilled for me. Like it was like, what if B, and then it was like, what if baby eats poop? And it's like, it's fine. I guess they must not have the same kinds of like germs that adults have. Cause like you know, we are gently nudged away from eating our own poop, but I guess it's fine for kids. And this really? I mean, it's not a big deal. It was just a little nug. This is why.
Oh, so it was like a raisinette.
Yes, it was a raisinette poop, which like I guess we're supposed to try to get him away from that because I guess he shouldn't really be having solid poops at this point, but they're way easier to clean up. but they sort of just swing from one side to another. Like they'll be the raisinettes and then it'll be the blowouts, which is why I was late getting started today.
Same. 100%. Same. Right here. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. You mean you as an adult right now? Yeah.
Same. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As a 41-year-old man. You bet. My cardiologist told me I have to fix my diet. So I've actually been a lot better about not eating like processed, like frozen foods mm-hmm. and stuff. And my body is actually really upset with me now that I'm eating a lot more like fresh fish and fruit and things like that. And my body actually doesn't quite know what to do with itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So literally same.
Swinging, vacillating wildly between extremes.
Yep, absolutely. And so anything else on your mind, parent-wise? I'm sorry. Are we boring you?
No, it's never getting any sleep.
How much is F. Murray? You said F. Murray's sleeping pretty well, though, right?
He's kind of going, I think because he just started work, he just started walking. And it's important at this point that if you know who F. Murray Abraham is, that you imagine a tiny F. Murray Abraham continuously standing up and then waving his arms in the air and then falling on his butt. And if you don't know who F. Murray
Curse
Abraham
you,
is,
Amadeus.
I promise if you Google him, you'll go, oh, that guy. Because that's what he is. He plays, that's the role he plays in every movie is that guy. But yeah, I guess when they learn a new skill, it messes up their sleep for a little bit. So,
same.
You're still learning new skills because I stopped that years ago, except for,
no, that's
I guess,
a, that's
raising
a, very
a child.
Good point, no.
Oh, well, yeah. Actually, probably you've learned quite a few in the last year, huh?
You're like the queen of segues. If you live in the greater New York area or have a good microphone and would like to share your story on Closet Practice, anonymously or not, message me on Twitter at DocumentaBee on Instagram at documentabarbarism, online at documentabarbarism.com, or by email to buttstuff@documentabarbarism.com, with only one A in barbarism. That's DocumentaBarbarism. In the meantime, be sure to subscribe to House of Barbarism on your pod thingy of choice so you don't miss a single episode of Adventures in Gabysitting and Closet Practice every Monday, and Documenta and Son every Thursday.
How long has it been? Do you have like an anniversary of, well, did you have like a grand coming out?
No, you know, I'm not, sort not really.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the three House of Barbarism podcasts, Closet Practice, mm-hmm. you know, is very much one thing I'm realizing the more I'm talking to people, and something I already know, but something that gets reaffirmed every time, is that there is no such thing as one coming out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you come out of one closet and there's hundreds more waiting for you, you know? So no, not really. I mean, the most important closet that I came out of was to myself long ago. And all that's really changed is sort of the one that I had to come out that has restructured the way that I interact with the world. You know, before I was like mm-hmm. gay, now I'm like gay.
Yeah, I can tell. when I uh-huh. played the trailer for my husband, and we'll call him JT because that way everyone will imagine that it's Justin Timberlake changing poopy diapers. Totally. What was I going to say? Now I'm just stuck on thinking about
you played the trailer for JT.
Yeah. I'm thinking about that. And I'm also thinking about your perineum massage. So yeah, I played in the trailer and he was like, "Your friend is really gay." And I was
yes,
oh my God,
bitch,
I can't wait to tell him. That will make him so happy to hear. No, but really, I do feel like, I feel like you are, there's no way to phrase this differently, but coming into yourself or coming out of yourself or all of those things.
No, I've tried that. It's not big enough.
I do appreciate the scientific experiment and experimentation though. But yeah, coming into your own, I think that's coming into your own. What? I don't know. Anyway.
Thank you. No, I feel it. I feels it. So that's interesting though. I'm going to need to think about what I haven't thought about an anniversary or anything like that. Like for me, the big one was because I had to, you know, tell specific people, specific individuals. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, I had to tell you and other friends and family.
And you knew that I would judge you harshly. So I was probably the hardest one to tell.
Absolutely. I'm so glad we've been able to repair the rupture.
And work through that, yeah.
But I'm going to think about that. Because I think it is mm-hmm. nice. It would be nice to have like an anniversary every year.
Is it great to be make it the first time that you know, like fucked a guy? Like definitely does split the world into before and after. But
that's true. It does. No, that's not crude, but I think there are better and more important milestones, shocking mm-hmm, as that mm-hmm. is to say. So I'm going to mm-hmm. think about that and I will report back to you.
Okay.
But regardless, I'd say it's been about probably, what is this, October? That's what, mm-hmm. the 10th month? So almost probably about a year and a half, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That I've been officially out. But yesterday, I took another big step towards coming into my own, towards becoming myself. Mm-hmm. I got my first tattoo.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Thanks. Right now it's a bloody inky mess. So you can kind of see it. Like you can see the wrap here. The wrapping has started coming off.
Oh, that's cool. So when you said that you're going to go do the thing that we were going to talk about, I just assumed it was something ass to mouth. I know. Which, if you can't see right now, is what his tattoo is. So, just a human centipede of.
Yep. I purposely kept it vague so you would think that, so you would assume it was some sort of like fisting party or something.
Fisting
party. But we're not yet. We're not there yet. I don't know. That's mm-hmm. probably a thing, right? They probably have fisting parties.
Yeah, maybe post-COVID.
So this, I've wanted one forever. I mean, I've always wanted mm-hmm. one for years. You know, I could never really hit mm-hmm. on what I really wanted. For the longest time, I wanted the image from the Sweeney Todd cast recording, you know, that sort of uh-huh. drawing of the two of them.
Where they and look like I this. Saw someone who,
yeah, they're like, oh, yeah. And then I saw someone who got one and I was like, oh, that actually looks really dumb.
Uh-huh.
So I, not that it looks dumb, but I thought it would look dumb on me. So, mm-hmm.
so
then
this is someone
I,
you know that you're afraid is going to hear the podcast, is what you're saying. You have to walk that back.
So then I recently hit on, so what it is, it's taken mm-hmm. from, it's copied almost exactly from a film from the 50s. Do you know the name Jean Genet? Does that ring a bell at all? He's a, yeah, like French, gay author. He's most known as a novelist, but he's also a playwright. Mm. He's one of those people who's almost more famous because of the people he's inspired. Than of his own work, mm-hmm. but he's also notable mm-hmm. on his own. Sartre wrote a book about him, and he's, you know, inspired queer filmmakers, queer artists of all sorts for the last, you know, 50, 60 years. He like worked with the Black Panthers. Like he had this really insane life. Mm-hmm. He was in and out of prisons his whole like young adult life. He was an orphan. He was a thief. He was like in the military anyway. So he's like had this really like passionate life, like full of sex, full of adventure, full of all these things. Mm-hmm. But he only ever made one film in his life, and it was this film in the mid-50s called Song of Love. Anyway, so it's from that. It's the tattoo that a character in the film has, who is sort of this object of desire in the next cell over mm-hmm. from the main character. He's always trying to, they're trying to communicate through this tiny hole in the wall, so he like puts a straw through and blows cigarette smoke and stuff. Anyway, and the guy is always like dancing. He's like caressing his tattoo, like as though it represents maybe his girlfriend outside or something. Anyway, so the film is really like erotic and sensual and stuff. And just
what was it called again?
In English, it's called A Song of Love.
That's right. In American, that's what it's called.
In American. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I found this guy, this tattoo artist. I don't remember how I discovered him. It was on social media or something like a year or so ago. And he is in Bushwick in Brooklyn. And I wanted to mm-hmm. go to him because he's very like super queer, you know, like he's very much a part of his identity. Because I looked at the tattoo artists around here and, you know, they're all like, they're like super like hetero energy, like not particularly mm-hmm. interesting, where this guy's like queer as fuck. So, mm-hmm. His name is Fly Tatum, and he's got his own little private studio out in Bushwick. Uh-huh. You know, this guy is great. He's so cool. And part of also why I wanted to go to him was because he's the type of person that I just might, you know, probably wouldn't meet any other way because he's,
yeah,
you know, he's like, he's also like a go-go dancer and a stripper, and he's sweet. Done porn and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's so cool. He's covered in tats. Like he's been, you know, he tattoos himself. He's covered in tats mm-hmm. and piercings. So I was like, okay, this is the guy I want to go like spend an afternoon with. This is going to be fun. So I went to his studio in Brooklyn, and
that's all. That was all in one sitting.
Uh huh. Yeah. It was only like a few hours. Mm-hmm. But I was like nervous beforehand. You know, I didn't know if it was going to hurt or not. I had, you know, I'd heard things, but it was really cool, and he was really like, he's just so like himself. He's one of those people who is so fully himself and so comfortable in mm-hmm. his own skin, you know, mm-hmm. his own like tattooed skin.
Yeah.
And he, so we, you know, we like went over the design. We went back and forth talking about it. So we got it just right. And then mm-hmm. we started doing the tattoo, and he had his shirt off, and he's really like lean, and he's, you know, he's covered in tattoos. And he was like, he was wearing these basketball shorts and only like probably just like a jock, if anything, you know, because I saw the strap. So like mm-hmm. his dick was just like swinging the whole time. And and from the conversation, I gleaned that he was probably wearing a cock ring too, to like, you know, like really sort of plump things up a little down there.
Oh, my.
So I was like getting like hot and heavy, just like sitting in there, you know, just like being like.
So you're already planning your next tattoo then.
Yeah, basically.
You're going to be inked all over.
Yeah, just to spend some more time with him. But no, like literally, like I'm glad that he was so professional and stuff and more paying attention mm-hmm. to his work. Because, you know, if he had wanted to, he could have done whatever he wanted to me. I would have let him like stomp on my face and been grateful for the privilege, you know. Yeah, so it was really fun, and it was really like I felt like as soon as I saw it on my shoulder in the mirror, I was like, fuck yes.
That's awesome.
Like, I felt badass, I felt sexy. I wasn't even feeling self-conscious, you know, like being shirtless and looking in the mirror, you know.
Mm-hmm. I love being around people like that who are so comfortable in their own skin because they make me more comfortable. The people that aren't, you can really tell, and they just make everybody else like anxious around them. And it's like, you have some shit to deal with. But most of us are kind of in between and yearning to be like the cool guy with the swinging dick.
I think I've mostly been the latter for most of my life, but I'm trying to sort of become the former. And the conversation was really great. I, you know, cause he knows like the club scene, the gay bar scene mm-hmm. around the city, mm-hmm. you know, the sex parties and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about like his boyfriend and his boyfriend's like 10 inch dick. Like it was seriously like, I was like wetter than the Mariana Trench. I'm telling you.
Did you flood your basement?
Yeah. I bled in my basement. And then, the New York Film Festival is still going on. So I went and saw a film later that night in Lincoln Center. And I went to dinner mm-hmm. with a friend who I was seeing the film, a new friend who I just met beforehand. And luckily this was after we had already eaten, but I sort of like felt like a drip on my arm and I thought I was just sweating. And so I sort of wiped it with uh-huh. my finger and I came away and my hand was covered in this, like,
it's
part ink, part blood, probably like part like plasm plasm is not a word,
part lust, the lust that you yeah. leaked out.
Yeah, exactly. So that's basically amazing. And I was leaking all night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know how that goes.
If you know what I mean.
Were you like walking around the film festival feeling like even if people couldn't see your tattoo, thinking that strangers were like, there's something different about that guy. like I don't know, when I get a new haircut or something, I'm like, everybody look at me. Like,
I was,
they don't know what I
looked
like ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly. How would they?
And then you're pulling your sleeve up and then later you realize that your arm was just covered in gore. your arm was a phantasmagoria.
Yes, way to bring it full circle. And on that note, I think we should take a break.
Okay.
All right, next up is Butt Stuff, a recurring segment in which we talk about butt stuff. What have you got, Shannon?
All right.
What's up your butt?
What's up my butt? Well, actually, this is about F. Murray Abraham's butt. This is never going to get old. It probably is going to get old for listeners, but for me, it's never going to get old. So when F. Murray was a lot younger, remember how I was saying, like, is this normal? Is this normal? So I would ask my friend Jen, who I'll call MFJ because that's the acronym for my friend Jen. And it's not a pseudonym or anything. It's just what I call her. And she calls me MFS.
Oh, nice.
And because that's how we always, we're like, my friend Jen, my friend Jen. And people are like, we know who she is. You mentioned her enough. anyway, so I would always bounce off of her, like, is this normal? Is this normal? So I got used to her being like, oh, yeah, that happened all the time with my kid, blah, blah, blah. So this once I was like, I have another first. I was changing F. Murray Abraham's diaper, and there was a hair coming out of his butthole. And at first I thought it was like, the hair was sticking on it. I was like, so I'm sure that happens all the time, right? The hair just comes right out of the butthole and you just keep pulling on it until it comes out. And then she was like, no, that's...
Not only if you're Italian.
So she was like, no, that's never, ever happened with my child ever. So, you know, then I stopped sharing anything ever. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so.
Wait, that's not the whole story, is it?
That's the whole story.
Oh, wait, you've never solved the mystery of the giant butthole hair?
I'm sure that he ate hair. I mean, what else? I don't think that he used like a teleporter and teleported a hair into his colon. I mean, there's only so many answers. Like, he must have eaten a hair, and it's COVID, so it could have been my hair, or it could have been Justin Timberlake's hair. I don't know, because all of our hairs are very long right now. So we just try.
Oh, is he shaggy too? He's shaggy now.
Yeah.
Oh,
he looks like a 70s teen idol.
That's hot.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense because he's still a teen idol because he's Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, of course. And always will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do I need more substance to my butt stuff stories?
No. It's great. In fact, I prefer the mystery. I think it's best that we never know the source of the mysterious long butthole hair.
We did have a conversation because I know that if you find something in your cat's butt, like gum or like a hair rubber band or something, you're not supposed to pull it out because it can damage their intestines. But I was just like, there's a hair stuck in here. I figured if there was any resistance, the hair would just snap, and who knows, maybe it did. Maybe part of it is still in there.
You know, while you were telling the story, I was so like enthralled by the details that I think I missed that you said you pulled it out.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, okay, most of it was out already, okay? It wasn't like...
But there was still some pulling.
It wasn't like I sat there like, rank, 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 rank.
Like a magician?
There's maybe, and then it turned into, then there was like a knot in it, and then it turned into like a red hair, and then like a blue hair.
And then a bird flew out.
And then a bird flew out. But a teeny tiny little bird.
No, see, I just was picturing like hair like in the poop, just kind of like sticking out, you know?
No, the poop, we cleaned the poop. I don't even know if there was a poop. It might have just been a pee. There must have been a poop. Wow. Something had to come out. It was probably little poop nugs.
Oh, that's
the
so
little
cute.
Raisinets. Yeah.
And then you flossed
his butthole
for
him. Deer dropping. Yes. I don't think it was like 3 feet of hair. I think it was
that's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing like a hand over hand type action.
Yes. I know that podcasting is an audio medium. So I keep trying to figure out how to not use my hands to explain what's happening.
I know. Yeah.
I keep wanting to go, it was this long, which I'm sure you'll have stories where you can do that too.
Our listeners are beautiful geniuses with incredible imaginations, so they'll make it work.
You said imagination, okay. And all I can think of is the two different Elmo songs where he sings about his imagination.
Never heard of them.
That's what's always in my head, all the time. Never not thinking about Elmo. Yep.
You don't do it's Baby horrible. Einstein, do you?
No.
Good.
Is that something that would get stuck in my head?
No, it's just a racket. It's just a big waste of money because it's totally meaningless.
Is there a butt stuff jingle?
Oh, I haven't thought about jingles. I do need to sell like butt stuff.
Butt stuff. This is where I would just make a fart noise if I was lowbrow, but I won't.
Thank goodness we're such high-class, high-quality people.
High-class bitches.
All right. So our next segment is the weirdest thing I Googled this week. And I think I'll go first. How do you like that?
I think you should. I think you should.
How do you like them egg rolls, Mr. Goldstone? So I've got two, Mr. Goldstone. Okay. And I think a lot of the ones that I do are going to end up being very similar to the... Well, actually, okay. So the first one I did is penicular a word?
and
well let me see, I have it pulled up somewhere.
You just ended up with a bunch of images and went down that rabbit hole.
Well, no. So it's not. First of all, it says, did you mean peninsula? No, I meant
the penicular.
I meant penicular.
Florida.
Yeah. The first one that comes up basically is Urban Dictionary. And it's like having the shape of a penis, penis shaped. The example for penis shaped is that anus is penicular. But that one's from December 2002. So humankind has evolved since then.
I'm sure.
There was one. So it's usually like penis shaped, things like that. Mm-hmm. Then a corollary to that is penicular homicide. Which is when you absolutely wreck that girl's pussy with the D. Did a little penicular homicide last night on Rachel. That pootie is wrecked, brah.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the episode title.
Oh, you're so brilliant. Yeah, we need episode titles, don't we?
Yeah, because every time I listen to Love It or Leave It, I'm waiting for when they get to the part where they say the thing. And then one of them goes, oh, that should be the episode title. And then you sort of judge them a little bit for being like, oh, they think they're so funny. But then you're like, I'm listening to their podcast, so I guess I think
literally
they're funny too.
Literally. But the other one that I did, and then which I think a lot of what mine will end up being, was Dave Gahan shirtless. Most of the time I spend online is fill in the blank shirtless. Sometimes if I really think there's a chance, I'll do like fill in the blank nude. That usually doesn't quite work out. But so do you know who Dave Gahan is?
Yeah, he's the Depeche Mode lead singer, right?
Very good. No. Yeah, I didn't know the name. That's right.
I know this because I had a summer school roommate who was like fucking obsessed with Dave Gahan. And I was like, who are you talking about? And then I was like, why would you be obsessed with Depeche Mode? Because whatever. But I've learned since then. But she went to a concert and jumped on stage and like hugged him. Yeah, it was like a little, oh, it was like at the Whiskey Go-Go or something. And she's like, yeah, they threw me out, but it was totally worth it. And I was like, bitch, you crazy.
Yeah.
But I kind of loved her for it.
That is
so
amazing.
She's probably Googling David Gahan shirtless right now too.
Well, so the reason I was searching it is because I heard about a new song. I mean, not a new song, a song that was new to me that I'm sure was a big hit that everyone who's anyone who has heard music knows. So from the 80s called Shake the Disease. Do you know that song?
I don't think
it's like
I
from
do.
The very beginning. It was from their first like greatest hits compilation, which was like 4 or 5 years into their career. And they already had its greatest hit. So, and it sort of represented the beginning of their new like moody sound from what I understand, which is like the Depeche Mode I think of, you know, when I think of Depeche Mode, like the 90s stuff.
So what was the non-moody Depeche Mode? Was it like upbeat and cheerful?
Like, I just can't get enough.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot more like new wave, kind of like Kraftwerk, kind of that sort of vibe. But so this song, Shake the Disease, I had never heard it before, but the way that I was exposed to it was through this live performance that they did on German TV in 85. And they're just like so like young and sexy and like full of themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like that thing that sort of alchemy that rock stars have where even when they're ugly, they're just like so sexy.
But, like Benedict Cumberbatch. Like no one understands why. No, you okay.
Maybe no, that's he's not a, sexy
maybe
at
that's
all.
A woman thing. Oh my, he's so sexy. I just want him to come over to my house and deliver my groceries or tell me that my eyeliner looks nicely applied or something. I don't know. He just seems so polite and like he's gonna, do you think he's just really gonna make you feel special?
I see the otter face. That's all I see. Yeah. But
I am also attracted to otters, so that might be what's happening.
Hey, you and me both, girl. Hey.
Wait, that's so a thing. This, I just forgot. That's
yeah,
a,
otter.
I'm sorry. That, that's, yeah.
It's that like I, a skinny bear.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say it's a hairy twink.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Same thing. That's true. Actually, I don't know if there's an age cutoff for otters. That's some research that I should do, and I'll get back to you on that as well.
Can I also I love that you were watching like live 1985 German concerts. Like, I hope that's also something that you Googled.
I think the algorithm just fed it to me at some point, or found it through an article or something. But what it did, so what it reminded me of, so I wasn't just I was like captivated just by this. I mean, he was like fucking like 22 or 23, like 5 years into their career, you know, like just the sort of charisma that gives a person. But what it did is it reminded me of when I was 7 years old and I was obsessed with Rick Astley. It's that same kind of energy. He's like a baby face twink with the Robert Goulet voice, you know? And I
don't know Robert Goulet.
Robert Goulet. He's like, did you ever watch Recess on Disney? Probably not.
No.
Well, it was after it was after our time. He's like he was in Camelot. He's known for his like sort of deep like bass voice, baritone. But anyway, so that's the same thing Dave DeHaan and Rick Astley both have, where they're these like these little twinks. But when they open their mouth, it's like Robert Goulet. But I remembered when I was seven and I was just captivated by Rick Astley. Like I was you know, it's not sexual or erotic at that age, but I remember being so fascinated and so like in love with him, you know, which is a little embarrassing looking at him now. He's the goofiest. Anyway, long story short is Dave Gahan is that heroin is a hell of a drug. And the years have not been kind to him or really any members of that band.
Oh, I see.
So, you know,
I'm sad to hear that.
Yeah.
So how did he look with his shirt off, though?
Well, all of the pictures were from after the rough years. So, you know, leathery.
It's funny because I always think of him wearing a leather vest.
So, so why? Maybe. It's like it's gilding the lily. It's leather on leather. Who needs it?
Like, if he just wore, like, a skin-colored leather vest, you wouldn't know whether he had a vest on or not. But also, you'd wonder where he got it from. What kind of leather is that?
All right, what's yours?
Okay, so do mine have to be baby-related?
No,
I mean, I know that's why I proposed the whole... Because I did Google, is it okay for baby to eat their own poop?
I think mine are, just because that's all I think about all the time.
Right. So I think that the weirdest thing that I Googled was, what does goop stand for? GOOP, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow's.
Yeah.
Because I thought that, I had a group chat and somehow we were joking about making dildos out of jade, because you know it's like a thing where women get like these face rollers made with jade and the energy makes you younger or something like that. I don't know. And we were joking about it and someone was like, do not put jade in your pussy. And I was like, I wasn't going to. And then they were like, no, remember, that was like a whole thing. And I guess like, I think that it's jade. There was some kind of like gemstone or mineral that Gwyneth Paltrow, who is apparently not really familiar with most of the products that she sells. Like she was on Jimmy Kimmel and he kept showing her things and she's like, I don't know what that
is. Classic.
Or she'd be like, probably, I don't know. But yeah, I guess there was a thing and it's porous, so you're not supposed to put it up there. So anyway, this all got me to thinking goop, like, is it Gwyneth O.O. Paltrow? Like, is that what it's? And then I was like, who has two middle names that both start with O?
Gwyneth Orville Oliver Paltrow.
Gwyneth Olive Oil Aurelia.
Olive Oil.
Oh. Oh, right. Well, in Popeye, that was one word.
Oh, the more you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. No, it's not, because she has family and their names are also oil.
I think, like, it was spelled with a Y, though.
Yeah.
There's the whole oil family.
Yes.
That's adorable.
That'll be the weirdest thing that I Google next week. But sadly, Goop does not really stand for anything. It's just like a thing. Oh, probably she had like a dream, came to her in a dream or something. And then also in a dream, it was like, you should tell women to put porous gemstones in their hooches. I don't know.
So maybe it's just some of that like Silicon Valley gobbledygook.
Probably.
Just come up with some sort of onomatopoeia.
Mm-hmm.
You still haven't. How far are you on Drag Race? What season are you on?
Oh, God. I think like season 9. And I've seen like 2 of the All-Stars. I know. I'm way behind. I have a Shocking. Baby. I know.
Oh, I have a baby.
Although I have
no
a,
guns.
I have a. You're going to do that every episode, aren't you?
You should do that every episode. No.
Oh, look at me. Because I'm on season
12. Because, oh, I have a baby. It's so hard. I never sleep.
I'm oppressed by society for my sexuality. Oh. I wasn't Ooh. Able to be my true self until midlife. Oh, you got real quiet.
Now you've gone too far, bitch. Oh.
Is Got Milk a member of the Milk family, or is that just a coincidence?
Got Mick. The drag, you're talking about the drag queen?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Got Mick. Gottmik.
Are they Irish? Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't know. Is that an Irish? Does that something about that say Ireland?
Yeah, it's a slur that was used like when Italians
and Mick, of course, yeah.
Which I know from Ragtime.
Oh, classic.
From the baseball song. You goddamn dirty Mick. Kills awesome. A kraut. And then he's like, Edgar, don't listen.
And you're like, history.
Yeah.
So you have anything else for the lovely people at home?
I don't think so. Just make sure that you send me lots of GIFs of Squid Games or possibly Phantasmagoria. Wouldn't it be? I'm going to search for Phantasmagoria GIFs. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to look it up.
Isn't it GIFs? I thought it was GIFs.
Freak me out again.
All over. Yeah. Why would you do that to yourself?
It should be GIFs because it's graphic interface. Something should be GIFs. But
so it's like an all or nothing thing. If it can't be right, you're just gonna be whatever you want it to be.
Let's call them fifths and try to pronounce. Try to convince everyone. No, we'll make it like
the Spanish G, gifts.
The Spanish gifts.
Send me a gifts.
All right, yeah. Send me some gifts.
Yeah, maybe not Phantasmagoria though, because I know that you're already not sleeping much.
Right.
Actually, no. If you find a GIF that combines both Squid Game and Phantasmagoria, that we would like to see. But only that and nothing else. All right.
That
sounds
great.
Thank you so much for listening. We will see you in a couple weeks. Be sure to listen to Documenta and Son on Thursday. And then Closet Practice will also be back next Monday. Tell all your friends, like, subscribe, all that good bullshit. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. This has been another House of Barbarism podcast, written, recorded, edited, and produced by Document of Barbarism, your friendly neighborhood mountain man fairy princess. Remember, there is no document of civilization which is not, at the same time, a Documenta Barbarism. Mwah.